Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson just read. If you've ever read the book Great Expectations, then you may remember that the main character, Pip, who was trying to become a man of means, a gentleman, was incredibly surprised to find out that his longtime benefactor was not Miss Havisham, as he had thought and hoped and dreamed and even expected, but was instead the criminal that he had helped escape on that foggy Christmas Eve night many years before. He was grateful to the man, to that criminal, for being his benefactor, but still his hopes seemed to have been a bit dashed. His wealth and his new standing in society as a gentleman all seemed to be tainted because of the source of his money. He expected and assumed for many years that he knew who his benefactor was. But the truth was significantly different. Great expectations. Seemingly every day there is a new product that comes up for sale on the market. And with that new product comes the advertisements and the promises. Use our product and you'll lose 30 pounds in 10 seconds. You'll regrow all of your hair. Your spouse will be more satisfied with you. And you will be happier. Order now and receive a second bottle free. Call today and you'll get not one, not two, but three bottles and with free shipping. And we order these things. At least we must, because they keep on coming out with new products with which to tempt us almost every day. But they don't work as promised. We don't lose that weight. We don't regrow any hair. And our spouse is more unhappy with us than they were before because we've just wasted a bunch of money on a miracle drug that is not going to work. In the end, we are no happier at all. False advertising on their part, perhaps. False expectations on our part, absolutely. So now, with these two examples in your mind, let me ask you, what does it mean to be a Christian? What expectations do you have of your religion and therefore of your Lord? Some Christians expect that life will be more pleasant and that all of the troubles will go away as soon as they become a Christian. Others feel that if they are obedient enough Christians, that if they follow God's command and His laws well enough, then God will bless them with earthly treasure, with a good spouse and with good children. Still others think that they can do whatever they want in this life, as long as they go to confession once in a while to make it right. But not many believe or understand Jesus' words in our text for today. It's not because Jesus was unclear in what he said. It's not because he was misleading them so that they would become his disciples. It's simply because they weren't hearing him. They have ears to hear, but they did not understand or believe what he was saying. Perhaps you felt disenfranchised or misled by this Christianity thing too. I didn't know, Lord, that my family was going to hate me. I didn't know that my life was going to be full of such hardship. I didn't know that the devil was going to attack me from every side without fail all the time. I didn't know that this life you promise was going to cost me everything. But if we think or believe that way, it's only because we weren't listening. He did tell us that it was going to be this way. Great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned to them and said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Again, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." We would really like to be able to soften these words, to make them mean less than what they appear to mean. But we can't. Don't misunderstand here. The devil or Jesus isn't telling you to be inclined toward the devil, toward evil. He isn't telling you to hate your parents and therefore to break the fourth commandment and sin. He is saying instead that if your parents or your wife or your children or your brothers or sisters try to get you to trust in anyone other than in Jesus Christ for your life and salvation, then they must be abandoned. They must be put aside. For nothing can deter you from the goal if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Nothing can keep you from the eternal life that is in Christ Jesus. Remember Job from the Old Testament? Remember how his close friends finally said to him, "Job, you should just curse God and die." Things had gotten very bad in Job's life. Instead of his friends encouraging him to remain faithful to the Lord who had given him everything and who had taken much of it away, they told him to curse God and give up. Job didn't listen. He remained faithful. He left his friends by the side and trusted in his Lord alone. His words, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What faith that man of the Old Testament had. You know from this text and from many other places in Scripture that Jesus has called you to bear your cross and to follow after him. This began when that cross was placed upon you in holy baptism. It continues in this day, and it will go on until the day of your death. He doesn't say it's going to be easy or without pain and suffering. In fact, you know quite well that since they persecuted him and put him to death, that you can expect nothing easier or better than what your Lord received. You know that the 12 disciples left everything to follow him. They were attacked by the devil. They were attacked by their own human nature. They were attacked by the world. And when their appointed time had come, they forfeited their life while preaching of Jesus Christ crucified for the sins of the world. There is no other way to be a follower of Jesus Christ than to pick up your cross and follow after him. There is no other way because denial of self is just as important as denial of anyone else who would lead you someplace other than the cross of Jesus Christ. Your father and your mother and your brothers and your sisters and your children must be hated if they lead you to someone other than Jesus Christ. You must also hate your own nature so much that you will turn no place other than Jesus Christ. It is not, however, in our human nature to rejoice at pain or to give thanks for the discipline that the Lord has brought to us for our good, but these are exactly the things that we are called to do as Christians. It's not part of our human nature to be generous or to think of others before we think of ourselves, or to simply give away what we think we have worked so hard to earn. But that too is exactly what we are called to do for the benefit of our neighbor. It is, though, within our human nature to ask, "What's it going to cost me?" And, "What must I do?" meaning, "How little can I get by with?" But when you sit down to consider the cost of your salvation, you have heard Jesus' words and you already know the answer. It's far more than you could ever even begin to pay. When you prepare to go to battle against the devil, you already know in advance that you cannot defeat him and that you can't even go and make peace with him. If ever you count up the cost and begin to believe that you can pay the price for your salvation, you have made a serious error in your calculations. If you ever try to negotiate peace with your enemy, the devil, you will be deceived and then utterly destroyed. There is only one person who could pay the price for your salvation. Only one who could defeat the devil. Only one who can bear the cross with the weight of your sins. A long time ago, my dad taught me something about electricity that has helped me in many classes. It has helped me in rewiring outlets and lights, and when using an aluminum ladder in my backyard. He said, electricity always takes the path of least resistance. So when my aluminum ladder gets near to those power lines, the path of least resistance is going to change dramatically. The electricity is going to flow from those lines to the ladder through me and to its ground. And when it's all finished, I won't be alive to tell about it. In my sinful nature, I am a lot like electricity. I am always seeking the path of least resistance, the easy road, the way of no pain or suffering. But that is not the Christian life. Jesus' words about carrying a cross and following him, his words about renouncing everything that you have in order to be his disciples, those words make it clear that our path as a Christian is not going to be easy. Being a Christian means living with crosses. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ involves living with crosses, trusting in his cross for our life and salvation, and bearing our cross to crucify and put to death the sinful nature. Thanks be to God that Jesus didn't seek the easy way. He had calculated and knew the cost very well, and he paid the entire bill. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. He drank the cup of suffering that his Father had placed before him. Because he paid the price for our salvation, because he endured the entire wrath of God, you have gained absolutely everything. No matter what happens in this life, no matter what the Lord gives or what he takes away, your salvation is certain and secure in Jesus Christ. Jesus wants you to expect absolutely everything good from him. He wants you to trust in him, and he has given you every reason to trust him. He has not misled you to believe that your life will be easy. He hasn't exaggerated what you will receive from him. Neither has he downplayed the difficulties that will follow. But he has promised that he will be with you, that he will never leave you or forsake you. He gives you his own body and blood to feed and to nourish you in this desert of sin, to forgive your sins and to strengthen you for what still lies ahead. You have an incredible benefactor who has made himself known to you. You have truly received a miracle cure for the sin that ails you. As one of his dear children, he has given it to you at absolutely no cost. You have been marked with the sign of Jesus' cross, and he has given you your own cross to bear. Rejoice and be glad. Your many sins are forgiven, and you have something wonderful waiting for you when your Savior calls you home. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.